ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different things. An 11-year-old playing in a golf tournament did something that the odds were 1 in 67 million. 1 in 67 million chance, and the 11-year-old kid did it. Tell you what that was.
Got the cart girl to sell him some beverages.
I think the chances are greater than 1 in 67 million of that. Tell you what that was. College football weekend. What's wrong with offense in this state? Are quarterbacks overrated? Either defense good enough to carry the bad offense when it gets for real? Who's in your top 10? College football top 10. Also, we'll wrap up the NFL week. See if Jared's fantasy team was any good this week. Mine was. Matter of fact, I believe mine was the best in the league this week. It helps when that alien Derrick Henry goes nuts.
Well, newsflash, you don't get an award for week two.
Well, you do if you're me. Because it may be the only time you win. Yeah. And also, I've also got another question about the fantasy league. It's kind of looking. I was looking at our league. Kind of what was going on.
Yeah.
It feels like back in the day, or, you know, 5 or 8 years ago, one conference is the West, the Western Conference of the NBA, and the other is the East. What happened here?
Hmm.
You got to find that again. Because I was glancing at the percentage chance to make the playoffs.
Oh, we can look at that?
Yes.
Interesting.
On my app. See if I can find it here. Here we go, standings. Yeah, one side, everybody's got a decent chance except for you, as it turns out. These have changed since last time I looked at them.
Well, thanks for that.
Everybody's around 30, and one team's 73. On the other one, there's a 9, a 6, a 4, and a 1.
Hmm. Well, looks like I got some work to do.
Yeah. Definite difference in the two conferences in our fantasy league as far as the strength of them. Anyway, something I noticed last night when I was kind of perusing. Also, your top 5 and your bottom 3 in the NFL.
Okay.
So your best 5 and your worst 3. Do that as well here on a Tuesday. What do you have?
You said district. It's a different sport, but, you know, fall baseball, fast pitch softball, playoffs start this Thursday basically for everybody.
That's right.
Canute, they were going to host in fast pitch Burns Flat Dills City, I'm being told. Well, I know for sure that has been canceled. Canute has been already crowned the district champs. They'll move on to regional because – and this is what my sources are telling me now. I can't confirm because I haven't talked to anybody official. Being told Burns Flat Dills City is still dealing with COVID, they had to pull out.
Yeah, there was. I also had an email from Double D, Darren Danielson up at Leedy.
Right.
Arnett Baseball not able to participate.
They co-op with a ton of teams.
Yeah, it's Fargo Gage. No. Not this year, I don't think so.
No, is it Arnett even that we're talking about here? I think it was. I can try to pull up that email.
I thought it said Arnett when I looked at that email. I kind of glanced at it.
Oh, yesterday. I'm sure, like you, you get tons of emails. Mm-hmm. You have to. Okay, there it is. Arnett Baseball does not have enough players eligible.
Yeah,
in order
eligible
to participate in districts.
That's right.
I wonder if that's the Millwood effect.
Yeah, maybe so.
So that changes. So Leedy's But no, no, no. Excuse
me.
There's other
than,
teams.
Yeah.
So there is an altered. Let's look at this revised schedule for the Leedy Fall Baseball District. Leedy versus Cimarron. So just Leedy and Cimarron.
Right.
Two games on Thursday and an if necessary on Friday. I think Leedy will be okay in that one. That's at Leedy.
That is correct.
Yeah, so that all, I mean, boom, you hit that, and then all of a sudden we're hitting the road with, we're already in our first season of playoffs in high school athletics. Isn't that crazy?
Seems like we just started school.
It does.
All right, last night the Pack, slow start, came back, whacked the Lions, 35-17. So that ends week two of the NFL season. How did your fantasy team do this week, Jerry?
I lost like by 10 to the commish. Despite Tom Brady's 5 touchdown passes, couldn't carry me enough. I need to make some changes at some other skill positions, I think. I'm already working on that. So I'm 1-1. I'm not overreacting after 2 weeks, like some people are, most notably the person sitting across from me.
I'm not overreacting.
You're so happy about your fantasy team.
Hey, listen. For
it's
1 week.
It's a marathon, Aaron.
For 1 week, I am.
You're going to ride that horse as
it
long
shows,
as you can.
It shows the brilliance of picking Derrick Henry over Ezekiel Elliott.
It didn't look too good after week one,
it
though.
It didn't. But listen, you can't keep a good man down.
That's true.
Yeah, if you look at the scoring, if you look at the scoring this week, you will find that 100, well, at least last time I looked. Yeah, 162.6 was the highest performer. Well, Who was that, Jared?
Congratulations, Skinny. Congratulations.
Oh, that was me. Listen, here's the truth
of
it.
Good job.
I am so terrible at fantasy football. Any chance I get to gloat just a little bit, I'm taking it.
It's like my golf game. Anytime I do good, I will talk about it until my face is
People blue. Make fun of Terry McLaurin. Boom, 27.7. And here's the truth. I would have been up in the 180s or maybe 190 if I wouldn't have taken out Tony Pollard for some dadgum reason right before the game started. I had too much time to think.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So I'd put him in. And then I took him out.
That's almost my advice.
He scored like 30. I have people wanting to trade for Tony Pollard all of a sudden.
That's almost my advice for any fantasy football player out there is to don't overthink it. You know, look at it about 30 minutes before Thursday night's game and go, wait a minute, I need to make adjustments. Because if you start overthinking, all of a sudden you're starting to, you know, drop players or trade them or something. You realize, dang, I wish I hadn't have done that. So that's my advice. But then again, I'm not very good at fantasy either. No.
Yeah, I had 30 on the bench, Tony Pollard.
See that,
and the guy I played got 4.
Ooh, man, you could
really. So I had 26. That's 188.
Yeah.
Oh well, that'd have been running up the score on Derek. That'd have been rude.
You know what I'm disappointed in this season?
You know what? I'll tell you this, right quick.
What's that?
The Steelers couldn't beat Derek Carr, but I did.
Oh. Ah, man. This is where I was going. What I'm a little disappointed in is the trash talk has been very minimal so far 2 weeks in.
It's because I lost last week.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So I'm just trying to light a fire here. Maybe some people can start trash talking.
Will won.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thanks, Will. We weren't really talking about your fantasy team. Uh-oh. Oh, here, this is how it goes, though. One guy's gloating about having Aaron Jones last night for a comeback win. Another guy texts, I'm the smart guy that left Aaron Jones with the Packers on my bench this weekend.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It happens.
Fantasy football is fun.
It happens.
It is fun. It's not life or death. All right, the real football, though. So after the first 2 weeks... Give me your top five
in the NFL. Let's go with Tampa Bay.
I see what you did there.
Well, a lot of people have been doing that.
Okay.
Kansas City. I will put so far as what we've seen, our top five.
Yep.
Man, that's a great question.
See, if you'd read your prep sheet, you'd have
known
it was coming.
Well, if I got it not, you know, at 8:50.
Well, it's...
For talking trash. Give me a minute. I just gave you the obvious two. I'm trying to think of it. No. Let's look at, you know what? I'm starting to believe in the Raiders.
Oh, my.
But I'm not going to put them at three. I'll put San Francisco at three. I'm just staying in the West. I'll go Rams four. And then the Raiders. I think you mentioned Derek Carr, and I've seen this, you know, what Jim was saying yesterday. He's playing really good right now. Really, really good.
Yeah, they were 2-0 last year as well.
Okay. But this is right now through week two, right?
It is.
So my top five can definitely change.
For sure. And we've seen this in the past where he looks like, oh, yeah, there he is. And then, you know,
sure.
So we'll see consistently.
Maybe him and Gruden have finally.
Maybe so.
It's finally.
All right, flipped. So you had Tampa, Kansas City.
Tampa, Kansas City.
Niners.
Rams.
Raiders.
I almost put Arizona there, but I didn't. I'm not ready to go there just yet because they really had to scratch and claw to win that game last week last Sunday.
They did. All right, I got Tampa 1. I don't know how you can't. I mean, just they've looked the best team so far. I've got the Rams 2, Kansas City 3. Hmm. I actually did put Arizona in there. Arizona at 4, and then I've got Buffalo at 5.
Ah, going with a 1-1 Buffalo.
1-1. I've got a couple 1-1 teams in there.
Yeah, I think they've bounced back, huh?
I do. I like the Dolphins better than you do, and to go down there and just destroy the Dolphins was pretty. I mean, but
dare I say, did it help that Tua went out?
It probably did. Maybe not. And Tua hasn't been great.
I don't know how much Tua would have been a factor in
the
game.
I think what helped more than anything for that beatdown was losing to the Steelers the first week.
Yeah.
You know, you see that. You saw it up in Seattle. With Tennessee not looking very good against the Cardinals in week one, then you go what you think is a way harder game than at home against Arizona is up in Seattle, and they go up there and win the game.
Well, we saw it last night
in comeback fashion.
Yeah, we saw it last night with mm-hmm. Green Bay. They were trailing at half. You know, and then they finally looked like the Packers in the second half.
Baltimore did the same thing.
Baltimore.
Cleveland did the same thing. Yeah. Teams that everybody thought was going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see out west.
Dallas.
I mean, listen.
Are we putting them there?
They
they look like NFC East favorites.
Oh, for sure. For sure they are. I'm interested in the West, though, the AFC West, because I think we all decide that the NFC West, every team is pretty good. Now, how good, we'll find out. But I think when you're talking about Rams, Niners, Seahawks, and Cardinals, I think everyone thinks those teams are pretty good. But out west, it's pretty interesting because obviously Kansas City is there. Most like the Chargers, probably better than the other two going in. And the other two are undefeated. Now, Denver's 2-0, and they won at the Giants, and then this week at Jacksonville. So maybe not the same. Now, but what the Raiders have done, and actually, now that I think about it, the Raiders should have been in my top five because of who they beat. They beat Baltimore at home, and they went and beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And so is there really a contender, or is it just early season great starts? Is there really a challenger to Kansas City?
I guess it's sustainable. I don't know. That's a great question. That's why we can overreact right now in week two, but you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, where are they really going to be?
That's right. But
the cream usually starts to rise.
No, you look at the Raiders' schedule. All of a sudden, it's the Dolphins at home. You feel like that. You feel pretty good about that one if you're Gruden and company. But it also seems like one they might trip up and lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you win that, and then you host the Chargers. Like Drew just said on the text, the undisciplined nature of the Chargers is off the charts. If you watch that game against Dallas, my Lord,
yeah,
have a penalty. Then the Bears at home don't look like anything much. You got to go to the Broncos. But then you get Eagles, Giants before you got the Chiefs. I mean, shoot. 6-2. 7-2. Pretty good start. You know, and that's almost worst case scenario, it feels like, for what the for what the Raiders are. The East, you mentioned the Cowboys. Eagles. You know, Billy likes the Eagles better than, thinks they're better than anyone expected. I think that's so.
remember that response, because we got a text last night about Eli and Peyton and their show.
Mm-hmm.
And that
which is just phenomenal.
Okay, let's.
It is just phenomenal.
I watched a little.
It is awesome.
I watched a little.
I
listened a little.
I am almost to the point of thinking they should just be the main crew and not even have it. I don't care if they're there. If you want them there, they can be there, but doing what they're doing as the main Monday Night Football crew.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Yeah. I hope they do something like that. You know, it'd be great. I don't think, I think it's CBS this year. Who has a Super Bowl? Be great to have them do the Super Bowl. Like that. I would definitely have.
There's already a bunch of momentum being created for those two to do the Ole Miss Tennessee game.
Hey, that would be fun. That would be real fun. Yeah. Well, anyways, my point was I replied because I'm still kind of is that Larry David gif where he just kind of that's how I feel about the Eagles. I mean, on one side I see they could be good. On the other side, they're still are we really believing in Jalen Hurts? If so.
We'll find out.
We'll
you know, it's find out. The amazing thing about
he's
NFL.
He's definitely an upgrade over Wentz. I think that's. I think they made the right decision.
For one thing, he gets to play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wentz somehow sprained both ankles in the game.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Was it on one play? Was it on one play you sprained both ankles?
Incredible.
I don't know how you do that. Well, you're talking about probability. What's the probability of spraining both ankles on one play? Maybe better than you think if you get it caught up underneath a big lineman or something, you go down awkwardly. Usually your knee or something would go.
No, it wasn't the same play.
It wasn't the same play?
No.
That's just unbelievable to me. So I guess he sprained one ankle and he's favoring the other and he sprained that one.
Yeah. He got fell on by Aaron Donald and that ended it his night.
That'll do
his day after he'd sprained the other one. He's tough. I tell you what, that's one thing you can say about that dude is he is tough.
I don't think anyone's ever questioned his toughness. I'm not.
To fight through everything he's fought through, but he's certainly.
The injuries, that's.
They're adding up, my friend.
They're adding up.
But I was going to say, all right, when you look, and this happens each and every week in this league, because at the end of the season, when you start tallying up the records, you know, one team's going to be 12-5, and another one can be 5-12 with the 17-game schedule this year. But then when you look, okay, so this week, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So 8 of the 15 games, 16 games, half of the games were one possession games. And it's like that every week, if not more than half. And it just, the discipline that you can show, and then the clutchness. You get so many chances to be clutch as a quarterback, as a kicker, defensively, whatever it is, because the games are so tight week after week after week. You very rarely see a score like what you saw with Buffalo and Miami, 35-0. It doesn't happen very often.
No. Just look at the opening lines of every game. They're in the you'll be shocked if you saw one in the 10 category.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
Very rarely. That's why the NFL has become my favorite pro league, because there is parity here. You never know.
And literally anything.
Look at Baltimore, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Well.
I mean, everybody had Kansas City winning that game because of the short week for Baltimore and everything. I've been critical about them.
But there will be one
fumble turned the game around.
But there will be way better examples of this than that one. Baltimore's actually good. Wait till Cincinnati beats Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and it will happen.
Oh, it will.
It'll happen a bunch. And that's where, like, if you're in that NFC East, any of those games you can pick off, not necessarily against each other, but the outside, like Dallas being able to pull that one out of the fire after not being able to do it down in Tampa. You know, every one of those is going to end up mattering at the end for you to hopefully not have to win that last game against somebody in your division to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You've already got that sealed up. But it's fun. That's why Sundays, man, Sunday afternoon, coming down the stretch when you had Dallas, you had, oh, by the way, did you hear this? Hang on a minute. Did you happen to hear the Vikings radio call of the field goal at the end to try to beat the Cardinals?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
This is on the Vikings side?
Vikings side. Paul Allen. He's legendary. He's fantastic.
Okay.
He's a fantastic play-by-play guy. Has been for a long time. So they're 37-yarder Vikings to win the game to beat the Cardinals. And here's how it sounded.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it.
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. That is a broadcaster's worst nightmare.
Oopsie daisies.
Whoops.
All right, who you got in your bottom three right quick?
Three or five?
Bottom three. Bottom three.
I'll go in order of 3-2-1 being three, not so bad, one being really bad.
Okay.
Jets, Giants, boy, poor New York, and Jaguars.
I forgot about the Jaguars. I'm putting the Jaguars in.
They're horrible.
I'm going to put Jaguars three, Jets two, and I've got Atlanta one. Atlanta's terrible.
I made a list of five.
You did.
Falcons are on it.
On it. I've also got. I had Cincinnati too.
Yeah, they're 1-1 by the skin of their teeth.
Huh?
They won in overtime week one by a field goal.
Oh, that's right. They did win.
But no one's really believing the.
No, no. Well, they yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's yeah. And my pick of Zach Wilson being a bust is looking really good right now. Speaking of picks, well, Zach Wilson just serving it up. Is that growing pains, or is it the curse of the Jets?
You know,
does he need to be traded? Like
Sam Darnold looks pretty good.
Exactly.
We were so fired up about those rookie quarterbacks in the preseason. Oops, that may have been a little premature.
Yeah.
You never know, though. There's time.
I mean, I think.
But when you throw, when you throw four picks in your first 10 attempts,
forget it.
Well, see, here's the part of that is, for me, that's on the coaches. They can't possibly let him throw a fourth pick.
Sure.
Just let him shovel pass it or throw it. Yeah, anything.
You got to put him in better situations
to not throw an interception.
Right. Yeah.
NFL, it's great. Let's take a look at the standings. The old Western Oklahoma Realty College pick'em. We added anybody to the list. We have 71 participants. The Western Oklahoma Realty College pick'em. ESPN's website. It's going to be a year-long contest. All kinds of cool prizes to win at the end. Andrew Peffer. Killing everybody so far.
Take that man to Vegas.
20-10. We're talking about 67% hitting. Against the spread. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Got a couple 18-2s. Peanut butter picks. I wonder if it has names. Yep. Doesn't. Oh, there's me. 16-14. Winner. Where's Jared?
Way down the list.
Which page? Second or third?
I'm going to guess.
Oh, there you are. Aetha. Hey, you know what?
We don't need to say what my picks are.
You're almost exactly like Andy, except for opposite.
Thank you. That's why I want to take him to Vegas.
10-20.
He's not taking me to Vegas.
Embry, right there together, right there.
He's like my Rain Man. Coming down the escalator, going to the sports bet window. Like, what do you like?
I'm looking for one.
The Cowboys. Definitely the Cowboys.
Oh, man. Hang on a minute. Man, an old boy do some good. 6-4. That's pretty good. For Blue Moon. I don't know who that is. Poor Ice Trey's having a rough go of it. 6-14. He did so bad the first 2 weeks he didn't even pick last week.
Oh my goodness. I'm gonna get on that right now. What are you doing?
We won't call everybody out. Just the people that don't play right. So anyhow, Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em, ESPN website. This is probably the last week that you might be able to catch everybody by entering. Because you're going to start out 200 points behind.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to enter, that's fine. Never know.
You never know. Nothing. I mean, if you get hot.
It doesn't cost you anything.
It costs you nothing. And if you can get hot, you can catch up. At some point, Andy's going to slip a little. He's not going to. I tell you what, he's either going to slip a little, or if he goes 67% for the season, he'll win by a lot.
That's how dominant he has become.
Yes, that's pretty good. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, all the group down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. We appreciate them helping us out again this season with the Pick'em contest. All right, so what's wrong with the offenses at OU and OSU?
I don't know. Is it too – I don't want to say it's too conservative. Do you think? Or do you think it's more or less – I don't know. It's like the question of not just this week, but the last 3 weeks, what's wrong with the offenses? Sometimes part of me wants to see more shots downfield, but the other part of me is like, no, Spencers, we don't want you to throw an interception. So that's why I say, is it too conservative by, well, let's just keep it on the ground and you know, hit the 3 to 4 yard routes other than the 30 yard routes. But maybe they need to be more risky. I don't know.
I think they're almost mirror images in a lot of ways.
Basically what my answer was play calling.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
Okay.
I think that you've got not great offensive line play so far. Both teams have been able to – it's been kind of wild because at some points they've been able to protect better than run block. At other points they've been able to run block better than they've been able to protect. And so I think you've got that problem. I mean, the OU fans are coming out of the woodwork to complain about Spencer Rattler, which is fine. Mm-hmm. He definitely, if you want to call him overrated because he's not, you know, the leading Heisman candidate, that's fine with me because that's certainly the truth. Having said all that, I think it starts at the O-line. And then I do think both coaches are a little bit leery of turning – a couple of turnover-prone quarterbacks loose, like what they've done in the past with other guys. And I also think, and this is if we're having like the pie chart, like offensive line is a big old giant piece like you'd want at Thanksgiving. Quarterback play is another pretty big piece that you'd want. You know, maybe play calling's a little bit. And I think like this little bitty sliver, like when you don't really want to eat the pie, but you feel like you have to eat, you know, try it because you want to try it. This itty bitty sliver is, I do think both coaches have a little bit more faith in the defense than they have in the past to allow their defenses to play.
Yeah, I was having that conversation yesterday with somebody.
But that is so small that it's not, hey, good defenses are carrying these teams. That's not it. It's more bad offense than good defense mm-hmm. so far. But I think it starts up front with the offensive line, and I think that both schools, both head coaches, are just leery of their guys under center because to this point they've both shown to be pretty turnover prone. Spencer Sanders probably in the more devastating situations, you know, mm-hmm. throughout his career. But Rattler, you know, even though he didn't have a turnover. He didn't throw a pick on Saturday. He sure should have.
About three of them should have.
He can thank Mario Williams mm-hmm. for playing D-back a couple of times.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a clean game by any stretch of the imagination. So those are things. Now, listen, on one side, we've seen improvement throughout the season, and that was last year with Rattler. He started out looking like a turnover machine against Kansas State, and then early the boneheaded play against Texas got taken out, came back after halftime, and then from there on, he was phenomenal with taking care of the football. And I think maybe the whole disappointment with OU fans right now is you thought that was going to be the catapult to get him to that level of quarterback play that everyone's become so accustomed to around here, and it just hasn't happened.
I wonder if that's just his, you know, the last year was his first year as a starter for OU. Obviously, this is year two and probably his last year. I wonder if that's just his MO. Slow starts to a season until he starts rolling a little bit. You know, last year they went 1-2, and like what you mentioned, and of course the issues in the Texas game, and then that was the turning point, the benching. You know, in a weird way, I kind of want to see him benched again to see if it would catapult him again. You know, what if he has a horrible start against West Virginia and Riley says, all right, come here. We got to calm down. Williams, get out there. But I wonder if that's just his MO. He's a slow starter to a season, and then it finally starts to click. That remains to be seen. I don't know. But speaking of the defense, I think I said this yesterday, and I was saying this definitely off air, like in the Nebraska game. Now I know Nebraska's offense is not good. They're not a points machine. But in the past, OU's defense has made average offenses look really good. As that game wore on, the more I grew trust in the defense, if that makes sense. And I'm starting to believe that if they're in dogfights like that, then I can trust the defense towards the end of games.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they've done it against Adrian Martinez and that dude from Tulane.
Sure.
Which everybody was fired up about that dude from Tulane. Go watch that Ole Miss game.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to see how good, you know, it's always easier to kind of have faith, like, oh, yeah, it'd be fine. You know, Michael Pratt. That Michael Pratt's a great player. Well, he went 10 of 18 for 166 against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss defense is no juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. Now, that offense, that's a different story. But the defense, eh. Ole Miss held them down. Held him down like you're supposed to instead of 300 yards and three touchdowns like he had against Oklahoma. I'm not there yet. I do think Oklahoma's defense is a little better. I think Oklahoma State's defense is definitely the two defenses are definitely better than they have been, which isn't saying a ton because they've been so bad. But there's no way in the world where I'm sitting back going, yeah, all it's going to take to win for either school is 21, like what it took against Boise for OSU.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a pattern that's going to lead to successful season at either school of just deciding, you know what, we're a defensive team now. Neither one of them is good enough for that. So the offenses are going to have to figure it out, and they're going to have to figure out how to sustain offensive line play so that the quarterbacks can be more comfortable and then earn trust from their coaches. Because right now, I mean, listen, all you got to do is watch what those other quarterbacks were allowed coming before either one of these two. All you got to do is watch what the coaches felt comfortable allowing them to do out there, and then seeing what these two aren't getting, you know, the benefit of the doubt on. And the word that keeps coming to mind is trust. They don't trust the quarterbacks to not screw the game up.
Right.
Neither one. And so, therefore, you see 80 yards passing and on one side and 6.3 per attempt on the other, which are numbers that are unheard of at either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State through the air in a football game, especially one that they won.
Does Lincoln Riley need to let someone else make the play calls?
No, good God, no.
That I'm just asking because other questions. That was some questions were being risen. Like, does he need to relinquish that to somebody else?
No, that's what makes him special. That's the whole point of him, is his offensive genius.
Right.
It's like cutting Samson's hair. Guess what? He ain't as strong. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. To me, anyway. is to be able to, you know, take away that, because that's what makes Lincoln Riley Lincoln Riley.
I was asked that question. I thought, well, then what would he do? That's what he does on the sideline.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Yeah, it's
that's how he runs this team.
It's one of the.
So what would he do?
It's one of the best strengths that's out there in college football.
You know what he'd do? He'd hear every play going in and go, no, no. Actually, we're going to do this.
It looked like John Blake trying to get a play call into Eric Moore in like three delay of games in a row.
Yeah.
Because nobody could decide
what play
to call.
Yeah.
But both teams have a chance at home starting the Big 12 season this week. Oklahoma State's got ranked Kansas State. ESPN Plus game, which totally sucks for everybody. I mean, you got a top 25 matchup basically between two teams in the conference, and it's on that ESPN Plus. Now, we both have it, so we'd be able to watch, but it's just not cool.
No, well, like what Jim said, that's how they're perceived in ESPN's eyes. That
yeah.
No one outside of Stillwater or Manhattan would want to watch that game.
That's not it.
And that's not the case.
That's not it. Here's the truth. They're the next highest one behind OU and Texas because the ESPN thinks people might want to watch them. You see what I'm saying?
So buy our subscription plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that too.
One of the schools that people might do it for is OSU, because people have interest and they won't burn down the conference offices like OU or Texas would if you put them on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's one thing to make the Kansas game that. It's a totally another. I mean, you're talking about number 22 in the coaches poll, number 25 in the AP going at it for the opener of conference play. That's got to be on regular TV. But the matchup is maybe enticing enough for people to have to buy it.
Wasn't there a game last year OSU was on ESPN Plus and they're having streaming issues on ESPN side?
Yes.
Yes. That is unacceptable. And this is coming from us who know what that's like.
Yes.
And we freak out if we know we're having streaming issues on Big Elk TV.
Oh, no doubt.
Listen, viewers, we know when we're having streaming issues and we don't like it as much as you do. And
even more, believe it or not.
Yeah, we freak out, and we're still trying to do a broadcast and fix it at the same time. A lot of juggling involved. Believe me, I'm sweating. It could
the
be.
First,
it drives me crazy. But what drives me more crazy was you have the worldwide leader in sports who can't figure out how to stream a football game.
What drives me more crazy is the first. Why is people's first reaction to fire on Facebook negative comments?
Yeah.
Why is that the case?
Don't get me started, Aaron. We don't have enough time.
Why is that the case? Guess what?
I don't get it.
Internet's not perfect everywhere. Sometimes it goes off and we do it as fast as we can.
You know what else is not perfect?
No.
People aren't perfect.
Let's move on. Top 10. We don't have time for that.
Okay. You're right. I told you we didn't have time
for that. Top 10. Your top 10 in college football.
I'll go 10 to 1.
Okay.
Okay. The Ohio State University, 10. Florida, 9. Texas A&M, 8. And there is a very slim margin right there. I'm going A&M because they're undefeated still. That might change this weekend. Cincinnati, Iowa, Penn State at 5, OU 4, Oregon 3, Alabama 2, Georgia 1.
See, I thought about that too, but here's why I can't pull that trigger.
Are we doing this after like we did NFL, what we've seen so far?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, so a team that won – at your number 9 doesn't get the nod over a team that won a neutral site game against a team that's not in your top 10.
I think beating – I see what you're saying.
You've got Florida better than Clemson in your own poll.
Yeah.
And Bama won that game at the Swamp. See, I had this conversation with myself. That's why I'm having it with you, because I thought about doing the same thing you just did.
You're saying what's the more impressive win?
Yes.
Bama at Florida or – Georgia beating
neutral site Clemson.
But out of all the big guys, and I'm talking like Georgia, Bama, OU, Clemson, Georgia doesn't appear to have any lingering issues right now. I mean, Bama, they almost let Florida come back.
Georgia didn't score a touchdown against Clemson.
I understand that.
Offensively.
But, yeah. But then they've looked really good since.
I've had this conversation
with
myself.
The defense looks really, really good.
That defense does look good. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, maybe it's 1A and 1B, but it looks like the top two in the SEC is Georgia, Bama, Bama, Georgia. But right now I like Georgia after, I said, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, four if you count week zero. I like Georgia over Bama.
All right, I got Cincinnati 10, Ole Miss number 9. Florida barely 8. I wanted to put them 7 over A&M. I think they've been pretty good. But so Florida 8, A&M 7, Oklahoma 6, Penn State 5, Iowa 4, Oregon 3, and then Georgia and then Bama. You've got those two. OU and A&M have been very, very similar to me. They've won their games, but they haven't looked very good doing it. Whereas you look at Penn State, they went to Wisconsin and won. They won that game against Auburn at home, and then Iowa went to Iowa State and really dominated that game for the most part. So I just can't justify what I've seen, what the results on the field between those four schools of having OU and A&M ahead of Iowa and Penn State. A couple of teams that are on the fringe of breaking in the top 10. Clemson, Ohio State are right there for me. You've also got Arkansas. And watch out for the two schools in Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State has been very good so mm-hmm. far. And also, welcome to the Big 12, BYU. BYU's been very good
yeah.
with wins against two Pac-12 schools in Utah and Arizona State.
Man, imagine if BYU and Cincinnati were in the Big 12 right now. Really bolster the conference, wouldn't it?
They might be the best two teams in the league.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Yeah. So where was I going? I know we'll talk, it's only Tuesday, but that A&M Arkansas game is so intriguing to me.
Looking ahead at the schedule this week.
Is A&M quarterback, he's done all year?
I don't know.
You know, he got hurt against Colorado.
Right.
They had to use their backup to slip by Colorado.
And then the backup played this last week, and they beat a bad team pretty
that
good.
That is so intriguing to me going against Arkansas.
Calzada.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, Haynes King was the original starter.
Right.
He got hurt against Colorado. Scheduled this week, you got that one. A&M Arkansas, which is at Jerry World.
Right, always is.
And that's normally, listen, that's been a heck of a game
mm-hmm.
over the past few years with Arkansas being terrible, but they've always seemed to kind of rise up and almost pull off that upset against A&M. So if that continues with the better team, you'd think Arkansas might be able to win that one. Notre Dame's at Wisconsin.
At Soldier Field.
At Soldier. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Soldier I almost Field. Thought there was a way OU was going to get game day because Big Noon Kickoff is also going to that one.
Yeah.
But actually, both broadcasts are going to be there, which I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
They usually kind of avoid each other.
They're saving.
But it is the best game this weekend, I think.
They're saving that.
Arguably the best.
They're saving the College game day, ESPN's college game day. They're hoping for all the world that that'll be in Norman when Iowa State rolls in.
Well, Iowa State better.
With those teams. Well, both of them.
Better.
At this point, that matchup doesn't look near as juicy as it did before the season started.
Right.
Who else? Kansas State, Oklahoma State's a good one. I mean, it's two ranked teams in different polls. Iowa State, Baylor. Iowa State heading to Baylor.
Yeah, that's very. That's.
That one might have a chance to be interesting.
Baylor look. I mean, they're looking the part, but it is against inferior opponents. But that it's in Baylor. What time is that?
It is a 2:30, I believe.
Yeah, that was at night.
And here's another one. Not saying the upset is going to get pulled, even though I was just touting this team. Not saying the upset's coming, but don't be surprised if Greg Schiano's Scarlet Knights of Rutgers play Michigan right off their feet. That one's in the Big House, 2:30. Both teams 3-0. Watch out for Rutgers.
I don't think a lot of people, you mentioned Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State, they've got the wins. Or who have they beaten? Obviously Miami. I think there's more hope for Michigan State to be good. But everyone's like, okay, Michigan, sure, you're 3-0, ranked 19th, but When's it going to happen? When are you going to lose a couple games? There's no trust there is what I'm saying. So that could be one of those games that you're that they're talking about. Like, hey, it could be this one.
Rutgers, then at Wisconsin is coming. And then they finish last three at Penn State, at Maryland, home for Ohio State. At Wisconsin in there. At Michigan State, obviously. That's the Halloween weekend. You have a change in who's the best conference from last week to this week?
If memory serves me right, what'd I go with? SEC?
I think you went SEC pack big.
I did go pack. Although now that seems to be top heavy. Pac-12's kind of looking like what the ACC's look like, with Clemson being the only team.
Yeah, UCLA loss hurts your Pac-12 as the second best.
Yeah, so let's go
with... And USC
getting
the coach fired.
But the ACC doesn't look any better. You had Virginia Tech lose.
ACC's the worst.
Clemson just squeaking by. Man. That's a really good one. It's SEC and everybody else? I don't know.
Big Ten. Big Ten's clearly second.
Big Ten.
It's those two and everybody else right now.
Yeah.
Then the other three, you can make an argument any way you wanted to and have a pretty convincing one just because there's no clear cut. But this year it's clearly SEC Big Ten so far heading into conference play. Even though, you know which conference had the best non-conference winning percentage?
Big 12?
Yep.
I mean, there are how many undefeateds left? Four? Five?
Gosh, five or six.
That's not bad as we most of them getting back to conference play. No, it's going to be a fun game.
What?
TCU-SMU.
Yeah, six. Yes, that is.
That's going to be a fun one.
We'll talk about that one later on in the week. All right, so I was looking at let me find this story. I had it up, and then I got to looking at some other stuff.
About the 11-year-old?
Yes.
I'd like to know what he did here.
What do you think it is? Even though you know, because I put it on there.
Well, I'd suspect it has something to do with his scorecard. I mean, we're talking about the game itself.
Okay, so he's playing in a tournament, a U.S. kids tournament.
You know, where?
Palm Springs.
Palm Springs.
It is at Weston Mission Hills is the golf course. He didn't start out very well. He double bogeyed the first and the third holes. His name, Jake Martinez, 11-year-old from Tucson, Arizona. So he makes double on one, double on three. Not starting out very well. He's on number five, 95 yards. Turned to his caddy, which is his dad. His dad says, hey, let's hit a pitching wedge. Martinez says he hit it, one hop, and in. Boom, hole in one.
Awesome.
What a great turnaround for young Jake Martinez.
All right. There you go. Good day.
He came to the par 3 12th, and it was 100 yards. And so he hit his pitching wedge again, and his dad said, same thing. Aim left, try to draw it in there, which, by the way, means he's a lefty. And he did it again. He made another hole-in-one.
Two aces.
Two aces in the same round for 11-year-old Jake Martinez, which the odds of that happening were 1 in 67 million.
Incredible.
He ended up shooting 74, then shot a 76 on day two, and was 14th place in the tournament overall.
I think I know the answer to this question, but when you hit an ace, obviously you go and you get the ball. Do you put that ball away? You don't want a chance of losing it, right?
It's so funny.
Do you continue to play with it?
It's so funny you ask that because, yes, you put the ball away.
Or is it superstitious nature and you go, you know what? This is the ball that I aced with. I got the picture with it. Now I want to continue to play with this ball. But okay. You don't want to lose it.
You know, so what? This exact scenario happened Sunday at Carston.
That's right.
Colin holed it for an ace on 11. And he's like, man, I wasn't even thinking. I just got up on the next hole. It's kind of a layup hole.
Yeah.
And he said, I hit it in the trees,
oh,
right? And
no.
So they had the search party was on. They found it.
They found. Oh, thank
they
goodness.
Found his ball, and then so then he put it away.
Yeah.
I put both of mine away immediately, and guess what? I got no clue where they're at. Zero clue.
I would have
no idea.
Straight to Hobby Lobby and bought one of those display cases.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
Well, that's a shame.
I didn't play. You know, like I didn't lose them, but I lost them.
They're somewhere.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, they'll turn up.
No. I mean, I didn't lose them like on the golf course.
No, I know what you're saying.
But I've lost them.
Yeah.
It's official. I don't have a clue where either one of them are at. You know what that means to me?
I think Wyatt got them like Scotty did when he grabbed his old man's Babe Ruth signed baseball.
Yeah, I can't.
Hey, guys, I got it. I got it.
I can't blame it on him. I'm afraid it was gone way before he was in the picture. But you know what that means?
What's that?
Time to hit another one.
Yeah, that's right.
See, I've got an easy solution to having a hole-in-one golf ball, making another one.
Start a collection, yeah. So how'd this kid finish?
14th. He shot 74 in the round. He hit two holes in one.
I feel sorry for that kid. You know why?
Why?
Because the longer it goes without him hitting another hole-in-one, I go, what's the matter with you? You hit two in one round. Why can't you hit any more? And he's only 11. He suddenly set that bar way too high.
He's never going to hit another hole-in-one in his life.
Probably not.
But it doesn't
Who
matter.
Who knows? This guy could be the next superstar.
I thought you were going to say you felt sorry for him because he was left-handed.
No, I praise the lefties. Good job, young man.
Jake Martinez.
That's pretty cool.
From Arizona.
That's pretty cool.
Two holes in one. Let's talk a lot more about the high school football schedule coming up tomorrow. Get you ready for the district openers all across Western Oklahoma. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. It's been the Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.